Then it's still the same now. Mm. It's gonna be the same now. It's time for application.
Okay, thanks. Let us start with the report on the public hearing on persons with disabilities. I think it's the first one. It's the one before the draft report. It comes before the workshop of, I mean, the one before from the department. Yeah, the page is not numbered, but it's after. Draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Women, Children and People with Disabilities on the implementation of the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Sinai? Konai? Onai?
I have it.
I don't have it.
Do we have extra copies?
I've got it.
Do you all have copies now?
Okay.
Did you have copies? Can we proceed then? I think Kashifa will lead us on this one.
So on page one of the draft report of the public hearing, we capture what the convention is all about and the implications of the convention and the objectives of the public hearings, which is to refresh members' memory, to identify progress made in implementing the convention, identify challenges, and to ascertain mechanisms that should aid the implementation of the convention. In terms of submissions, we received 24 submissions from the public, including organizations and individuals who requested to make oral submissions, and then those were listed. In terms of how this report is structured, as we turn to page 2, we noted observations. And these observations we grouped into themes or headings and captured what were the issues that, based on the presentations and the submissions, what had emerged. So the first observation, 5.1, focused around education, and the key thing there was around lack of education for children with disabilities, challenges around inclusive education, early childhood development, higher education and special schools. The second issue was around employment and economic opportunity, and the link between poverty and the impact on persons with disabilities, challenges around the open labor market, as we move to page 3, challenges around entrepreneurship development, and then overall low participation of persons with disabilities in the financial sector and formal economy. In terms of sexual abuse, maltreatment and neglect, we had many reports of children, youth, and adults with disabilities who are abused, maltreated, and neglected. One which comes to mind is the cases around Orange Farm, which Africa Tukum, which is the NGO that presented to us, noted that there were many children within that area that were abused. It was reported to the police station, and then nothing came of it. We did, in that instance, request Department of Police to come back and investigate, and we wrote to IPED and the Secretariat for Police to look into those issues about where cases are reported of abuse by children with disabilities and their parents, and nothing comes of it. They did report, they wrote once back to us that they were looking into it, but we haven't received anything subsequently. In terms of health and rehab, again, the challenges around access to rehab for persons with disabilities, the lack of therapists, the need for community-based rehabilitation and assistive devices, around transport, that the convention was weak on identification of transport services as a means of mobilizing people with disabilities, overall lack of accessible transport and challenges around taxis, inaccessibility of buses and trains, and the need to look at the travel chain and the link between issues of transport and health and employment opportunities. In terms of accessibility, the general issue was around physical accessibility and the challenges persons with disabilities had experience, as well as access to employment, education, health, recreation for persons with disabilities. And then in number 5.7, need for strategies and an integrated plan. Overall, the submissions indicated there was a need for strategies and integrated plan that considers and includes the needs of persons with disabilities, that the people with disabilities should be included in the planning and implementation of these strategies and plans. And this largely focuses on the fact that the Integrated National Disability Strategy, which is supposed to be the overarching policy, is very, very old. It's 1997. It should have been revamped. So what's the guiding policy and framework that guides the country in terms of disability?
Do we have a national policy
in disability? No. We just saw now in the quarterly reports of when I did the National Disability Policy, that was achievement that was not, that was a target that was not achieved. 5.8, intersectoral and interdepartmental collaboration. It was noted that departments operated in silos and there was an urgent need for better collaboration and synergy between them. In terms of negative attitudes and stereotypes, that these still persisted and there was a need to change perceptions. In terms of special groups like children, persons with intellectual disabilities, Down syndrome and dementia, that there's a need to focus around intellectual and cognitive disability, and that we need to raise a profile around these issues and take into cognizance the specific needs and challenges faced by this dark group. So in other words, that even with persons with disabilities, some persons with disabilities face even greater challenges, like rural women with disabilities who have intellectual impairments. So, and there's a specific need to say, well, what do we do in those instances. And then overall, there was a lack of awareness about the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and its optional protocol. And that special reference was made to educating and training government officials on the treaty and its articles to ensure better service delivery for persons with disabilities. So in essence, out of all these submissions, all the submissions indicated, no matter who they engaged with, civil society in terms of government officials, in most instances, government officials didn't actually understand the convention, what it means, and what are the implications and how to implement that. In terms of number six, so number five captures what the issues were at the public hearings. Number six looks at, well, what were the outcomes and subsequent deliberations. So at the conclusion of the public hearings, the relevant departments and entities were called to account during August to October 2012 to respond to the issues that had emerged at the hearings. And then we list all the departments and entities that we asked to report to the committee. Now, all of those meetings, minutes capture what happened in the engagement with each of those departments. Engagement with government departments and entities ensured that the committee exercised its oversight over the executive by ensuring that treaties were complied with. Once briefings with the departments and entities were concluded, the committee deliberated on the outcomes of the public hearings and the executive engagement. Thus, this report was compiled, it will be tabled and serve as the basis for discussion in the House. The report is envisaged to note the key observations and the recommendations for what the committee suggests as a way forward. The committee also had the opportunity to engage the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities, who is responsible for compiling the initial country report on the convention. The engagement with various departments and entities revealed that despite South Africa being a signatory to the convention, awareness about it was poor and there was a lack of the understanding of what was required in terms of the obligations for duty bearers in this case the executive. Thus, the requisite data and information required to monitor and evaluate progress was either difficult to ascertain, lacking, absent, and/or outdated. Moreover, with respect to policy development and implementation, the key concerns related to implementation and the requisite budget required to give effect to the policy. To this end, the Integrated National Disability Strategy is outdated and as such ineffectual in guiding the executive to give effect to the rights of persons with disabilities in country. Furthermore, the slow pace of progress towards the achievement of the 2% target for the employment of persons with disabilities and inclusive education for children illustrates the policy inertia. In other words, despite the fact that we have a policy for inclusive education and a 2% target, we haven't been able to make the gains we should have. Civil society told us that, and when we engaged with the departments, we also saw that. In addition, the lack of coordination, joint planning and collaboration within government with respect to giving effect to the rights of persons with disabilities was also apparent, and as such, the role played by the Department of Women, Children, People with Disabilities in addressing this was critical. So in conclusion, the Portfolio Committee acknowledges the advances made in the country with respect to the rights of persons with disabilities. Notwithstanding this, the public hearings on the implementation of the Convention revealed the major challenges with the fulfillment, protection, and advancement of the rights of persons with disabilities in South Africa. To this end, Parliament, as a duty bearer of the rights of persons with disabilities, had a crucial role to play in terms of oversight in this regard. So then looking at the recommendations, having considered the outcomes of the public hearings and engagement with various departments and entities, the committee recommends as follows. And again, we've captured these recommendations into themes or subheadings. General recommendations, the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities should expedite the development of an overarching framework for the domestication of the convention in the country with clear implementation guidelines, all of which to be costed accordingly. And this is important because it's not just coming up with a policy. You must indicate what's the cost of implementing the policy. Because without the cost, line departments won't be able to know exactly what would be expected of them. It's not just a commitment in faith, but also in terms of money and resources. The Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities should examine the feasibility of national disability legislation that will give greater protection to persons with disabilities. South African Sign Language should be considered as an official language to be recognized in the Constitution, and that PANSALT must report on progress in this regard. Special recognition should be given to categories of persons with disabilities experiencing multiple forms of discrimination. So, for example, rural persons with intellectual disabilities who are considered to have multiple forms of discrimination. In terms of ensuring compliance with the convention, all government departments have a responsibility to ensure that policies, programs, and service are in line with the convention. Parliament must hold the executive to account to ensure that there are reports on the status of compliance in this regard on an annual basis. Budgeting from a disability rights perspective should be looked at within government. Disaggregated data is required from respective government departments and entities in order to monitor and evaluate the outcomes of the provisions within the convention. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, there's a need for disaggregated data to be collected, monitored and evaluated, and disseminated insofar as monitoring compliance with the convention. The establishment of an independent statutory agency in terms of Article 31 and 32 of the convention in order to monitor and enforce compliance with legislation should be looked at. The Department of Women, Children, and Persons with Disabilities should lead the process of determining how South Africa would comply with Article 53.2. In terms of disability awareness, page 7, the convention should be made available in all official languages. Sign languages should be made available in all government departments. More efforts are required to initiate education and awareness programs within government that focus on the rights of persons with disabilities. The role of the media is an important stakeholder in this regard and should be utilized. In terms of access, more efforts are required to ensure that government information and delivery of services is made more accessible to persons with disabilities. Accessible and safe transport for children with disabilities needing to attend school, creche or stimulation centre requires attention by government as well. In terms of training and capacity building, there's training for state officials in how to make services more disability-friendly by persons with disabilities or family of persons with disabilities is required. Specific training should be done on South African Sign Language. Training in capacity of statutory workers working within NGOs and even within government should be ongoing. And this was raised particularly in relation to dealing with abuse, that people are engaged in protection work, so whether it's at the FCS, at the police station, or forensic shelter workers, there should be some training on how to engage and around persons with disabilities. In terms of education, the Department of Basic Education must ensure compliance with the convention and by ensuring the expedition of White Paper 6. Inclusive education must be implemented and resourced accordingly as a priority. The Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities should finalize the audit of special schools and disseminate the findings. The Department of Higher Education must also ensure compliance with the convention by institutions of higher learning and the department itself. Greater synergy is required between the Department of Basic Education, Higher Education and Labour to better prepare youth with disabilities to obtain employment but acquiring the requisite skills. In terms of health, the DEA programs should be easily accessible and affordable to all persons with disabilities in the country. In terms of best practice, such as SACRA project in Khayelitsha, the core training program of Witwatersrand Hospital in partnership with Eikelhoek, CBR in Alexandra, and the satellite project of CREATE in Pietermaritzburg should be looked at to examine the role of community rehabilitation worker versus the generic or profession-specific mid-level rehab worker as a viable option for rendering community-based rehab rehabilitation. All stakeholders, including but not limited to the Department of Health, Social Development, Higher and Basic Education, should work collaboratively in this regard. Technically, what this recommendation is saying is there's lots of really good projects about CBR in the country, but this should be looked at and say, well, how do we begin to roll this out, and who's going to take responsibility for rolling that out? And there's several departments that are involved in that regard, and they should collaborate. And the Department of Health must ensure that more reliable statistics is collated to that would support the development of a more realistic budget for rehab, for which assistive devices is but one aspect. So in other words, rehabilitation is not just about the wheelchair. It's not just about the hearing aid. There's a whole other support services that are required for rehab, and that should be taken into consideration and costed accordingly. Ring-fencing of the budget should be considered to ensure that funds earmarked for rehab services are not usurped by other competing programs. In other words, at the provincial level, where money is being allocated, often the rehab budget is the first budget to go, and the money is often spent on other activities. Research should be encouraged to ensure the evidence supports the practice. Moving on to the last four, in terms of economic empowerment and employment, providing access to finance for disabled persons between National Treasury, traded industry, public enterprise, economic development, monitoring and evaluation, the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities, the National Planning Commission must be coordinated. All relevant financial sector role players should participate in the development of of such a coordinated mechanism. I think here again it's saying that there is money going out, but the money and how it's being dispensed is not well coordinated. So there should be a mechanism to say, well, if our target is enhancing the economic opportunity for persons with disabilities, how are we going to measure that? If the measurement one is about the allocation of resources, how do we know who's allocating what? Parliament must hold to account relevant government departments and entities for facilitating the economic empowerment of persons with disabilities. To this end, more emphasis should be placed on employment of persons with disabilities and more stringent compliance of the 2% target. My suggestion here would almost be that departments have to report to Parliament on a biannual basis around how far they've come around the 2% target. So maybe that's another one for consideration. In terms of childcare and protection, due recognition should be given to children with disabilities in need of care and protection. To this end, the funding requirements of statutory workers and services, service providers rendering programs on behalf of the state should be examined and addressed accordingly. Moreover, places of safety in children's homes must be accessible and available to children with disabilities in need of care and protection. One of our outcomes of this is that we found NGOs are rendering services for children with disabilities, but they don't have sufficient funding. So therefore, in the program in the 2 weeks to come, we will actually have social development talk to us about NGO funding. An integrated system is defined between the Department of Education, Basic Education, Health, Social Development, Justice and Police for monitoring children within the child care protection system, but also as an early warning system to detect abuse, neglect, so that matters can be addressed more efficiently. And again, here, the issue was that often a child with a disability is reported to the police station as being abused or neglected. But there's no indication as to whether health had perhaps seen that child previously, whether social development had actually reported that, and whether it was picked up in the school. So there needs to be a better mechanism between all those departments. In terms of justice, safety, and security, best practice models such as sexual assault victim empowerment program should be re-examined and considered for rollout to other provinces as a matter of urgency. State should train its personnel, staff across the criminal justice system, with specific focus on police, prosecutors, and magistrates, and it should include disability-specific training as well as on the provision on sexual offences and related amendment act. Government should partner with civil society where specialised skills have been developed to deal with people with disabilities. Closer collaboration is required between DPOs, that's disabled people organisations, and gender-based violence organisations to improve deferral mechanisms. In other words, we saw in the NGO sector that often the organisations that deal with disability that pick up persons of disabilities that have been abused, but they don't often link to the NGOs who deal with gender-based violence. So they need to be better. Yes. Department of Justice should be sensitised to the needs of caregivers and children with disabilities in court. Moreover, officials within the criminal justice system should also be sensitised around persons with mental health concerns and mental illness. Advocacy should be undertaken to review policy to undertake other measures of justice. Effort should be made to protect the person with disabilities from secondary abuse from the current court system. In terms of local government, self-representation of people with disabilities at ward level should be encouraged within local municipalities and compliance with the 2% target. Disability should be mainstreamed into the state of the municipality address and the integrated development plan. I think the issue around the local government and the 2% target was that the 2% target shouldn't only be about employment, it should also be about representativity of government structures. That's where the 2% target should also be applied. So municipalities should go beyond awareness campaigns and develop programs for the implementation in communities. A report to be considered. So in summary, that captures the observations of the public hearings, who we deliberated with afterwards, what were the key issues that emerged from our deliberations with departments, and then the recommendations based on what was what had emerged from the public hearings. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kashifa. As usual, this committee is always on top, you know, of issues. So, members, this is the report. And I would like to hear from members if there are any additional issues that you felt they were left out. But for me, I think it has been captured very well, especially the interaction with departments, you know, that were implicated during the public hearings. Honourable members. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also think the report is excellently done, as always. Just a question with regard to clarity from our side as a committee, because you know what really what I remember from our follow-ups with the departments that really bothered me was, for example, when Public Works had indicated to us that every year they were rolling over the money to transform buildings into disability-friendly buildings because they didn't have the skill. And I think they were supposed to come back to us with updates. The same with the Department of Arts and Culture, because I remember that they didn't, or remember they gave us that old report. They couldn't tell us how far they've gone with sign language. And I just wanted to know from our side whether we'll be making follow-ups, because I know time is limited, but whether we would, where to from here, because we're not now adopting the report, but will we actually get that information from those departments? Because I think in many ways they already we've identified issues where they are really letting disabled people down by not doing the basics. I'm just asking.
And Chair, if I can add to that, can we set a time frame when we need to have their report back, please?
Yeah, I think we will note that, and we should make a follow-up. And yes, I agree that we should also come up with time frames, especially that you know that our term is coming to an end, so that we try as much as possible, you know, to make follow-ups on all the issues before we leave this committee in 2014. So we'll certainly do that. We'll make a follow-up. That is why I was asking if, you know, we really have a mechanism that actually help us to track, you know, outstanding issues. I know it's not an easy thing, you know, to do, but I think we need to do that so that we don't leave anything behind when we leave. For the new incoming committee, you want to say something?
Can I suggest that for our engagements with departments and our follow-ups, that through Neliswa, we go back to all those minutes and then request departments, based on the meeting, how this was outstanding issue, kindly provide the information, I would say, by the end of this term, so that members can then have a look at it in next term, because this term is already full. So in terms of all the departments that we listed here, we'll go through and write back and say, this was the outstanding issue, please provide in writing, report back or progress or provide the additional information. That's us in relation to these departments. I'm also thinking, I was talking to Chair yesterday, that maybe practically what worked really well for our CRC report that we adopted, which is around children, which the speaker then eventually wrote to the Deputy President about and said he wants these departments to respond and say, come back and say, how have you implemented? May I suggest that we suggest, based on the public hearings, we want all government departments to report on a biannual basis. How are you mainstreaming issues of disability within your department? Number one. Number two, what are you allocating in terms of cost in relation to that? And number three, what is your progress in relation to the 2% target? And the reason I'm saying every 2 years is to say, well, within the span of 2 years, it gives the department 2 years to say, by the time they come to Parliament in year two, they should have said, these are all our programs, this is how much it costs, and this is my 2% target. Then Parliament engages with that department and say, that's insufficient, this needs to be done better, then they have another 2 years to fix that up. And in the 4-year cycle, they would come back and say, well, this is where the costing has improved, and this is where the 2% target. Because I'm thinking that maybe annually, we may be too ambitious. So the practical suggestion, I would say, in terms of the public hearings, in terms of compliance with the convention, the recommendation from our committee is that all government departments report to Parliament on, one, how are they mainstreaming issues of disability within their core programs, what programs they're providing for persons with disabilities, and what does it cost, and number three, report on your 2% target. So that, by doing that, Parliament automatically has all government departments respond to Parliament. So that means it will go to the respective committees. Because I think I'm just looking at practically, we can't have all the departments constantly come to us. It should be mainstreamed. And how do we mainstream that into the workings of Parliament? So maybe that's just a suggestion to consider, that we have kind of three top priority recommendations. One, we ask all departments to respond biannually in terms of how you're mainstreaming. What are your programs, two, that you're providing? What does it cost? Number three, what is your progress with regards to your 2% target? Thank you.
Thank you, Kashifa. I think it makes sense because, in a way, if you give them 2 years, and to mainstream. I mean, looking at the recommendations that we have here, it's not possible to expect the departments to respond to all these recommendations. And sometimes, like we are saying, that we become too ambitious, you know, to put a whole list of recommendations, some of which are not even implementable. But, you know, based on the, you know, proposal or, you know, a suggestion that we come up with these three priority, you know, recommendations, then they will be compelled. And also given the fact that we are saying they should, you know, mainstream, all other factors will come into force through mainstreaming. They'll implement that. You wanted to say something? Member Fanamep?
No. It's a good idea for the 2 years. I'm just a bit concerned that, while I understand that we must give them enough time, I'm just concerned that not enough has been done already, and a 2-year cycle is a long time. But it gives them time to look at the recommendations and come back. So I would agree. It just feels to me like the 2 years is a long time.
Yeah, but then we really need results from it. We need outcomes from it. We can't forever keep saying be lenient and patient with departments and there's no outcome.
For example, Chairperson, I'm just reading for our own interest at the committee. I don't know if if you read the story about this factory in Mirbank in KwaZulu-Natal that's been literally been keeping disabled people as slaves, mistreating them, keeping them in horrible circumstances, paying them R5 for 2 weeks' worth of work. And it's quite a number of people, disabled people with different disabilities. And, you know, these are some of the issues. You know, I even wonder whether somebody's going to make a follow-up on this to go and see the conditions.
When was this?
The story is from a week ago. Mm-hmm. They found They found that these people are, they're being kept in horrible, they basically work day and night,
let's go,
then. Get R5 for 2 weeks worth of work, are insulted, are mistreated almost like they're animals. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a number of disabled people. And they've now, I saw it in the news, yes. Mm-hmm. I think
we need to go there, that is why I want this committee.
Can we get
I believe, I think the KZN KwaZulu-Natal government was going to dispatch a team to go and investigate. So what I'll do is I'll make a follow-up to see whether that's happened and see what other information I can source for the committee. Mm-hmm. And then we can take a decision. If a provincial team has already gone to investigate, mm-hmm. then maybe we should just keep it at the back of our minds that maybe we don't lose sight of it. Mm-hmm. Then maybe in 3 months' time or so when we have time that we actually do pay it a visit. If a provincial government's already gone. I just thought I would bring it to our attention because this is one incident that's made the news, but how many more out there are there? Mm.
I think because the province is already doing that, but maybe from our side we can communicate with the province to find out where they are, you know, in terms of that investigation before we can also, are we agreeable on that?
You know, Chair, why this is happening? Monitoring is lacking. Lack of monitoring. That is why these things are happening. They are really the disabled people are suffering. They are really suffering.
Okay, Honourable Members, we will then agree that you'll get more information from Member Fanamerve and then we make a follow-up. Please. Let us make a follow-up because I think that's why sometimes we tend to lose out on these things because follow-up is the, you know, like come to the same as what the Member Lamola is saying, that there is no monitoring. So if we can do that. Thank you very much. Honourable Members, can we then, is there anything else? Can we have? Yes, I think the committee agrees that we insert those recommended. But I think Member Fanamerva was raising a concern about 2 years not being too long.
Why not 12 months? Why not 12 months? Once a year, annual report. Two years.
Too long.
After 2 years, they will still come up with.
And we won't be here. Let's try one year. If they don't do it, you know, they will try and work hard towards, you know, meeting it. Maybe we 2 years, like the member is saying, is too long. Can you agree on that, members? 1 year. So those will be the three recommendations that we. There are a whole lot of recommendations, but those are the priorities, the three. Okay, thank you. Can we have a mover for mover and Honorable Fanamerve moves, and then Honorable Lamola second. Thank you very much. What are we? Minutes.
Tomorrow is the chairman.
No, tomorrow is going to be when. You will be worse, Wena, because you'll be talking throughout. Can we adopt a name? Members, do we have minutes for the 5th of June? Oh, they are long. How many pages? 3. to tell the honest fact, now I haven't read these minutes. Have you read them, members?
I didn't say anything.
Have you read the minutes?
Oh, I'm on the 19th.
On the 5th of June. I was there, but I haven't read these minutes.
I've gone to this one. I didn't say anything.
Hmm?
I went to this one.
The 5th of June. Okay. So, can you...
What are they?
Member Jose moves and Member Paranerve second. 12th of June. I was not even there. 12th
of June, on that page, I just make it a printing error or correction. There's two authors, one is independent party and one is independent Democrat.
They might need political
comments.
They
in their own party.
But they
still be rich. Democrat now is the independent party.
Isn't that a good salary? Okay, yes, I did. Keep in the independent party, that needs more money for
us. Anyone who was in this meeting, can we get a mover? Moved by... moved by Member Peterson and seconded by Member Polster. That's the 19th of June. I was present in this one. It was very short to read. Can we have a proposal? Remember Lamulo, you were in. maybe she didn't read the minutes, that's why she's not.
No, I did not. I honest, I did not. I went through the report.
Those who read the minutes, 19 June.
No, I was there.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Hmm?
I was there.
You moved, and Member Paname was second. Honourable members, thank you very much. I think this will give you enough time to go and rest for this afternoon so that tomorrow you come prepared. Thank you so much. You wanted to say something?
Mm-hmm. Listen, I just wanted to apologize for myself tomorrow in advance. I am coming. I will be here. But tomorrow morning, I'm also supposed to be at a SABC workshop. So I'm taking my delegation. I'm dropping them off there, and then I'll spend an hour or two and then come straight here.
Okay, as long as you come.
No, I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I will also be here. Truly, no, Chair. I'm not postponing this appointment. I'm seeing my cardiologist, and I must be there by 1 o'clock. So I'll be leaving by, say, 11:40. I cannot postpone this one.
Okay.
I will be here, but I'll have to leave to be in time at Vincent Palotti.
I'll be back.
I'll come back. I'll definitely come back, but keep them busy until I come.
You see, we have fresh
team
coming in. Mm-hmm. 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 I'll come in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
let me also take this opportunity to thank our... I don't know what to call them, you know. Efficient, you know. I don't know what to call them.
Powerful
team. Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.